Hello, everybody, and welcome. With Bob Christopher, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Our listener lines are open, and we'll welcome your calls now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question, or if you're dealing with some difficult personal issue, let us hear from you. The lines are open, so call now, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. I'm Bob Christopher. Welcome to Basic Gospel. We're so glad you are here with us today. The fabulous Richard Pfeiffer joins me in studio. And Richard, always good to have you.
Thank you.
Yes,
I'm not sure I'm that fabulous, but oh
yes,
well.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. But we're glad you are here. And this month we're talking about the knowledge of God. And I think that's our greatest asset as individuals who know Jesus. And it's also our greatest asset as far as the body of Christ is concerned. We have what the world needs, and that is the true knowledge of God. Everywhere people are scratching their heads trying to figure out what God is like. Does he even exist? All of these sort of things. And we've already talked about the fact that, you know, we can just look in nature, we can just look around, and if we're observant, we can recognize that somebody is behind all of this, and that we can see some of his divine attributes through creation itself. So there is this knowledge that God exists, but then there's this question, what is he like? What is God like? And we would love for you to join us on the broadcast today and make a comment. When did you come to really know what God was like? What did you discover? Again, that number, 844-322-2742. But Richard, there's a fabulous passage in the book of Acts, and I think it's one of the greatest scenes really in the New Testament as to what happened. I mean, apart from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I love Paul's boldness, his sharpness of mind, his ability to communicate with a lost world and engage them in such a wonderful way. And it happens in Athens, and it's recorded for us in Acts chapter 17. So I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. It really just adds something to the story. So Paul was waiting for them in Athens, and he was deeply troubled. So Paul's troubled. Now, why is he troubled? Well, he's troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere in the city. So Athens, as the entire Roman Empire, was an empire filled with idols. I mean, if you didn't know exactly, you know, how things worked, you would create an idol and you would worship, and hoping in worshiping that and appeasing that particular idol, you would be successful in that area of life.
In fact, that was one of the things that made the Roman Empire tick.
Yes.
Religious freedom.
Yes.
You can invent as much as you like as long as you pay your taxes.
That's right.
And don't
have
an insurrection.
You're right. Those were the two things.
Yeah.
The Pax Romana. I mean, just keep peace. Anything else goes. So Paul is disturbed, troubled by all of these idols in the city of Athens. And so he goes to the synagogue. He reasons with the Jews. He reasons with the God-fearing Gentiles. He has a debate with some of the philosophers. So there was this place known as Mars Hill, and that's where these philosophers would go, and they would debate back and forth. They would share new ideas, new thoughts, new philosophies, all in attempt to try to figure out why things are the way they are, what brought them into being, what's our purpose, what's our destiny, all of those important questions that we all ask of ourselves. Well, Paul is there, and he starts to talk to them about resurrection, and this is strange information coming to their ears, but they're intrigued. And then in verse 22, we see this. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. Keen observation. And I think when we look out in the world today, we would make that same observation. The world at large, I mean, humanity at large, is religious in every way. We have every kind of flavor of religion out there. I mean, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of them. Now, when you break them down to kind of their basic beliefs, you know, there's really just a few basic beliefs, but man, they show up in all kinds of different philosophies and religions. So he says, as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it: to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I am telling you about. So he recognizes their religious fervor, their religious zeal, so to speak, and their desire to know more about this God that exists. And so he says, I'm here to make them known to you. So he engages with them right where they are. And he says, let me speak to you on behalf of the one true God. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. That is the true God. That is the one true God, that he gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. That's what we learn about God in the gospel, isn't it?
Yeah.
We had a need for eternal life. Why did we need that? Because we were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, if we're going to have spiritual life breathed into us, God is going to be the source of that. Why? Because he's the only one with life. He is the only one capable of breathing life into us. We see this in creation. He breathed life into Adam and Eve, and now through this recreation, this new birth, he breathes life into us. And then he goes on to say he satisfies every need. And certainly these philosophers, the Epicureans, the Stoics, were talking, sharing ideas, figuring out how the basic human needs can be met on a bodily level, physical level, on a soulish, emotional, volitional level, and then at the deepest level, a spiritual level. That's what philosophy is all about, trying to figure out the whys of here, and how can we find answers and solutions. Well, they're all found in God, as he has expressed those to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's so simple.
Yes.
In spite of the fact that it's infinitely deep. I mean, that's really the problem he ran into here, right? He starts talking to them about this stuff, and eventually he gets too far into, well, you have to put your own ideas aside and let God reveal himself to you.
Yes.
Because of the resurrection. And they said, whoa, just a minute, because they enjoyed hearing themselves talk. And that act of humility, which God asks for, to say, you know, I'm not God, I don't know everything, God, you must show me who you are, or nothing's going to work. And they weren't ready for that yet.
Yes.
Not all of them. A few of them did.
Right.
I mean, it says he did get through to a few of these people. And it's a beautiful talk. He hits every point that needs to be hit. And, you know, a person who was looking for truth heard it that day. Even if they didn't respond that day, they heard it that day. That's a wonderful thing.
Right. And I think in saying, I want to make this unknown God known to you, he is really touching on the deepest need of every human heart. That is our deepest need, to be known and to know the one true God.
Yeah.
That's when we can flourish as human beings, when we really discover our true selves in light of the God of creation and the one who has made himself known in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. So glad you are with us. The number to call, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. If you would like to weigh in on our topic of the day, go ahead and call that number. Maybe you have a question about a particular Bible passage, or you have a problem situation that you want to discuss. Let's talk about it today on this broadcast, 844-322-2742. And Richard, talk about the knowledge of God. One of the things that we learn when we read the Word of God is this, that God describes himself as love. God is love.
Yeah.
And we have a great resource that really examines that and takes a deep dive into that particular statement. What does it mean that God is love? How does he express that to us? And it is a book that I wrote a number of years ago called Love Is, and we want to put that in your hands as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. And we certainly need your support this month as we are going to close the books on this fiscal year. June 30th is the end of our fiscal year. And we really would love to hear from you with a financial gift to help us meet our year-end target of $200,000. That would help us close the books, finish in the black, and be ready for July 1 to start. So if you can help, please go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and make your most generous gift. And while you're there, be sure and request your copy of Love Is. I think you will never see, or you will see love in a whole new light and in a way that will really transform your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. We're glad you're here as well. Again, the number 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Let's start in O'Fallon, Missouri with our good friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hello, guys. How are you?
We are doing well.
Yeah.
Hey, that includes Richard.
Yeah. Yeah. Every once in a while, I have to come back. I just can't help it.
I don't know if I can stand it anymore. I mean, come on. My goodness. But I could listen to you every day, brother. You're more than welcome to come on back. I was listening to your opening, Bob, and something struck me about Paul, John, James, Peter, all of them. Those guys were talking to an unknowing audience, mostly. And they ran into all sorts of things. And I was just thinking about all the people. I'm unleashed. I'm in love with Jesus. I've been talking to just hundreds of people. My grandkids go to Christian high school and been through their graduation and everything, and different reunions I've gone to. You know, it's amazing, just utterly amazing. You know, Jesus said, you know, we won't need to speak to tell the neighbor because everyone will know me. They don't. Okay. Most people, I'd say 90, the high 90%. Of people I know, they've heard of Jesus, but they really don't know him. Okay. I'm not judging their salvation, but they are, you know, anybody in this world should not be a surprise. I mean, the gospel's been going on, and you guys probably know this better than I do, but I am utterly amazed. Other than going to church and being religious, most people don't really know our Savior. They don't really know everything about him. So I'll let you guys talk about it.
Well, and that's something that we're going to continue to grow in, our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter ended his second letter with this great encouragement to grow in grace and in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we first come to know Jesus, there are a few things that we learn about God through him. And it's this, that God is forgiving, that God is merciful. We responded to his mercy. We responded to his kindness. We responded to his sacrificial love for us. And when we did, we received forgiveness of sins. Now, this is a clear statement concerning the character of God, concerning his essence, his nature, that he is a forgiving God. That's just an aspect of being love, that God is love. He is going to be a forgiving God. And this is where confusion really starts to seep in as far as our knowledge of God is concerned. We have never, for the most part, finalized the cross of Jesus Christ. We have never come to, and I'm just making a general statement that applies out there as far as the church is concerned. We have the Catholic Church saying, hey, for you to get forgiveness, you have to come and confess your sins to a priest. And Protestants say, no, 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 that's not the way to do it. You can go straight to God, but you still have to go to God and confess those sins. And when you do, then he will forgive you if he thinks you're genuine enough, if you're contrite enough, if you've said it in just the right way. So those are things that are saying to us that God is still demanding some type of responsibility from you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ tells a different story, that God took the initiative in Jesus. He shed his blood. Jesus shed his blood. And in shedding his blood, he took away our sins once and for all. And when we receive Jesus, we receive that forgiveness of sins. It's ours. It's complete. It's total. There's nothing more that is going to be done. There's nothing more that needs to be done. Why? Because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was enough. So Peter told that to Cornelius and his household. Anyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins. Now, God doesn't dole that out, sin after sin after sin after sin, only when we bring it up to him and tell him we're sorry and ask for forgiveness and that sort of thing. No, he gave it to us in Christ. In Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Well, that tells us something about the nature and character of God. That tells us something about the love of God. And if we keep thinking that the cross of Jesus was not enough, that we have to add to it, that we're grateful for it, appreciate the fact that he shed his blood, but here's the things that we have to do in order for this to be ours, then we're telling a different story about God, about the one true God. So let's let God speak for himself. Let's not try to come up with our own thoughts, our own understanding. And God has clearly spoken through the cross of Jesus Christ. He is a forgiving God, and in Christ he has forgiven us of all of our sins, and as a result, we stand as forgiven people in Jesus. Now, that offer of forgiveness is available for anyone.
Yep.
They simply receive, humbly receive that gift. There's nothing that they need to do. They just receive it. And that from that point forward, they can live eternally grateful for the fact that the blood of Jesus took away their sins once and for all, and they are forgiven people. And through that, you know something about God you didn't know before. You thought maybe he was a judgmental God, that he was ready to punish you at any given moment. But then, through the cross of Jesus Christ, you discovered something different, that God is a loving God. He's a forgiving God, and indeed, he has forgiven your sins in Jesus. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
It is the best. So, Brad, thank you for that. We appreciate your question. Well, let's go to this call that came in from Idaho.
Bob, this is Lynn in Payette, Idaho. Our men's group just finished a week or so ago your study of Simple Gospel, Simple Grace, and really appreciated it. We got a lot out of it. And we remembered you in prayer when you had your little physical episode. And now we're studying Hebrews, and we're in chapter 6. Could you shed some light on the 6th chapter, verses 4 to 6 especially? I've read some, and there's a lot of different opinions, and I sure would appreciate hearing from you. Thanks, and God bless.
Well, Lynn, thanks for that question. And this is one of the most confusing passages in the Word of God. There's many people who use this to teach that you can lose your salvation. I don't think that's what the writer of Hebrews had in mind at all when he was writing this. He was, I think, giving a warning to unbelievers that, hey, you can't sit on the fence. You can't just taste. You need to go on with Jesus. If you believe that his blood was sufficient to take away your sins, if you believe that he is Lord, if you believe that in him is life everlasting, then don't just taste. Go ahead and yeah. partake.
Digest it.
That's right. Combine that message with faith. Mm-hmm. So there's a warning there to those who are sitting on the fence, move forward. And then I think for those who are in Christ, who may be kind of confused because they're trying to mix the law of Moses with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they don't want to give up Judaism, they don't want to give up those traditions, those teachings and that sort of thing. And maybe in their minds they're thinking, well, I'm not sure if Jesus is the Messiah. I've turned to him. I've repented. I've laid that foundation. The writer of Hebrews is saying to them, hey, something better is not going to come along. Yeah. I mean, Jesus is here. He is what's been promised. He is the one the Old Testament has talked about. So you can't go back and repent again and that sort of thing. So if you have, keep moving forward with Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is everything that you're looking for. So if you're kind of confused and wondering, is something better going to come along? And certainly that would have been the case. Many people in Israel back in that day rejected Jesus. Why? Because he didn't fit their idea of the Messiah. And so they were thinking something better is going to come along. Well, that's not the case. Jesus is the gift from God to mankind. And you look to him, and once you've looked to him, then move forward with him. So I think it's an encouragement to believers to keep moving forward. It's kind of like they would say to those wandering through the desert, quit wandering through the desert and taking
a night. The promised land.
Yeah, go to the promised land. That's where it is. So keep going forward with Jesus Christ. Any thoughts?
Well, this statement here is common throughout the letter to the Hebrews. The writer is saying, here's Jesus, and here's what you're presenting instead. Stop presenting the instead. Come to Jesus. And he did that in several ways, many, many ways throughout this letter. So it's not pejorative at all. It's a warning, but it's, look, you've got Jesus.
Right.
He is the best. He is the only way. Accept that and move forward.
Right. So
let's get on with it.
If you're an unbeliever, let today be the day. You hear the good news and harden not your hearts, but combine the message with faith. If you're truly in Christ, let this be an encouragement for you to continue growing in grace and growing in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And Richard, speaking of growing in grace and growing in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a fabulous conference coming up in October 15th through the 17th. It's called United. All the information on how you can come and be a part of this is on our website at basicgospel.net. We would love to see you in October. This is going to be a wonderful time of fellowship with like-minded believers from all across this country and maybe all around the world. We're gonna really present the gospel of grace in power and clarity and conviction. And we want you to be there. Again, all the information is on our website at basicgospel.net. Now for our entire team, the Basic Gospel team, for Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long. We'll see you again tomorrow at this same time for another edition of Basic Gospel.